Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight's theme is Save Holland, the Last Democracy. Got a lot of great songs and humor to share this evening, and we're going to advocate the saving of one of the last bastions of freedom in Amsterdam and the nation surrounding it, known as Holland. Going to go back to the early 70s, late 60s or early 70s. This is the GTOs.
Come on.
A GTO is the opposite of a GTO. Only they get in there more sexually than we do.
Mm-hmm. So it means boys together often, occasionally
openly,
organically,
outwardly, or outrageously.
All those O's. That's what a GTO is.
Now, wait a minute. Just pretend like you don't know me. Make like I just arrived in Kansas, okay?
Oh.
Kansas?
Excuse me, but I never saw anyone in Kansas that's dressed like that. Do you wear those kind of clothes all the time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, huh?
It's our daily apparel. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have very even good. Better things, you know.
It only happens once. They only look this way once.
Yeah, that's right. Only once.
Only once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tomorrow it might be a different effect, you know, just adding something else.
Do you think you'd go to Kansas where no one even has long hair and wear clothes like that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Sure, I would like to go to Kansas just to see how it is, you know.
Would you?
Sure.
Trip out.
Right, I'll tell you that. So where do you all live?
Laurel Canyon.
Laurel Canyon. Where is that?
Eucalyptus Haven.
Laurel Canyon. The country store.
Red Room. Country store, what's that?
It's great for socializing, and all the groups you see, that's where music gets in. You know, music always gets in there.
Oh, yeah? Well, I dig music. I just sit around in Kansas and play records all the time. And there's nothing else to do, you see. You go out very much, you know, we get beat up by a bunch of drunks.
Hey, rock, hey, yellow rock around, go watch us at never show.
This is London calling. Here is a news flash. The German radio has just announced that Hitler is dead. I repeat that. The German radio has just announced that Hitler is dead.
Did you know freedom exists in a school book? Did you know madmen are running our prison within a jail, within a gale, within a white free Protestant maelstrom? We're perched headlong in the edge of boredom. We're reaching for death and the end of a candle. We're trying for something that's already found us.
This generation rules the nation.
Party don't you find the left hand side. Party don't you find the left hand side. It's a go bun.
It's a go
bun.
Okay, you heard the great Give Us Barabbas doing Jesus Brigade, and you can check them out at Ever Reviled Records, everreviledrecords.com, if you want to send a copy of that CD to Reverend Jerry Falwell or any other wingnut Taliban clone who opposes your rights. Before Give Us Barabbas, you heard Bow Wow Wow doing I Want Candy. Before that, Musical Youth did Pass the Duchy, Jim Morrison, Freedom Exists, and From Great Speeches, Hitler is Dead, always good to hear again, and started off with the GTOs, Kansas and the GTOs, and the Captain's Fat Teresa Shoes. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on every Sunday night live at RadioVolta.org and relay broadcast live at InfidelGuy.com, 9 o'clock East Coast time, USA, to 11 o'clock, and at RadioVolta.org, usually a little overtime, up to an hour. The show is repeat broadcast throughout the week at InfidelGuy.com, and I highly, very highly recommend not only their chat room at InfidelGuy.com, but also the animation. And there's a new one at that involving the World Trade Center and Jesus H. Christ superhero that is a must. It's infidelguy.com/flashtunes/IG_WTC.html. I think it's linked to the face page, so it's pretty easy. It's also at FullGospelRanch.com. That's the latest Flash tune at InfidelGuy.com. Check out the new Reverend Bookburn page, also at FullGospelRanch.com/RevBookburn. For updated links, audio archives of past shows, the weekly playlist, and message boards, and inflatable altar boys, and all kinds of shit, you can write to me at RevBookburn@FullGospelRanch.com. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered and kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic, fundamentalist, or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. There's a little bit of news. Two public appearances by friends of the Reverend. Bill Baird, 40-year hardcore activist for birth control and abortion rights, is speaking at Vassar College this coming Wednesday in Poughkeepsie. And that is Wednesday, October 2nd at 5:30. Information 845-437-5370. And you can check out Bill Baird and Joni Scott at ProChoiceLeague.com. And it is true that Jello Biafra is coming to Philadelphia, if you are a local listener, on October 9th. He will be at the First Unitarian Church in Philadelphia, October 9th. Information 800-594-TIX. 800-594-TIXX. And, of course, you can find Jello at alternativetentacles.com. And there's all kinds of great stuff there. And there's moving and relocation sales. So all kinds of great stuff. The samplers are a must. And we're going to celebrate Alternative Tentacles reissuing ancient Butthole Surfers classics by playing one of their songs later. Tonight's theme is Save Holland, the Last Democracy. And one of the reasons it's called that is because freedom in Holland is under threat. And one of the reasons it's called the last democracy is because at independent media, we have the luxury of cutting through all the propagandistic bullshit of every nation, all of whom call themselves nations of freedom, democracy, and justice, and almost none practicing said practices. Many ruled by corporate interests, dominated by theocratic religious extremists ad nauseum, and we're going to try to prevent Holland from going that route. And so before we go on to the next thing, there's two very vital links. The first is for a documentary about Amsterdam in which they point out that they do not succumb to anti-freedom fascistic types of any kind, nor religious nuts, even though they're all there, every kind of them, and that it is a society that tries more than any other to respect diversity, rights, and a variety of lifestyles without imprisoning people for crimes of vice or so-called moral crimes. The documentary about Amsterdam is entitled Sex, Drugs, and Democracy. It's great for a graduate school position paper on public policy, and it's also great for parties. And yes, just like last week's recommendation of Canadian Bacon by Michael Moore, the Reverend is advocating massive public showings of Sex, Drugs, and Democracy, and all your friends will thoroughly enjoy it, besides get a lot out of it. Sex, Drugs, and Democracy. You can check that out online at anarchytv.com/SDD. anarchytv.com/SDD. I want to recommend the new fantastic issue of Cannabis Culture magazine, and you can find them online too if you live in an area that's dominated by assholes that successfully ban hemp-oriented magazines. cannabisculture.com, and then you want to click on current issue, which is October, November. Clearly they are too stoned to know what month it is. But it's still a great, great, great issue. And cannabisculture.com, current issue, October, November. And the primary article, and it's a good summary of what's happening right now in Holland, is Dutch coffee shops under attack. And it's a part of the online edition, too, by Pete Brady. Is it the beginning of the end for Holland's policy of marijuana tolerance? And yes, they do want to put an end to the hemp and hashish coffee shops, which means that we have no alternative but to call for serious resistance, advocacy worldwide of resistance to repression to whatever extent one is facing it, and to resist change when it is to take away freedoms in a place that's as much freedom as we're seeing in these particular times, such as Amsterdam. So, without further ado, yes, it is time for Asshole of the Week. Sunday. The calendar's not here anymore. Thank you. Sunday. I was waiting for that long fart. Sunday, September 29th, 2002, at RadioVolta.org and InfidelGuy.com. It is time for Asshole of the Week. Tonight's asshole is Jean-Peter Balkanende, age 46, candidate in next May's elections in Holland, running for prime minister on the very conservative Christian Democratic Appeal, CDA, political party, who states that his ultimate goal is shutting down all the marijuana coffee shops. Jean-Peter Balkanende, you are Asshole of the Week. And this is a good opportunity for everyone to be reminded to stand up, because the people who are against rights, the people who are bigots, the people who are anti-freedom, do organize. People who are anti-sex, anti-hemp, anti-civil liberties, anti-victimless crimes, they do organize, and guys like this need to be stood up against. Okay. Let's play a song for the Asshole of the Week. This... you're killing me. This goes out to Jean-Peter Balkanende. And, actually, we're going to dedicate tonight's show to the coffee shop proprietors in Amsterdam, as well as the very brave people who run the cannabis clubs for medical marijuana recipients, for those who are suffering with AIDS, cancer, MS, and numerous other illnesses in America, and facing a lot of fascistic Nazi repression at the hands of Ayatollah Ashcraft, the DEA, and numerous others. Tonight is dedicated to those who resist such assholes, and in particular, tonight's Asshole of the Week. Let's play the Beastie Boys.
Yeah! Kick it! Two classes.
This is a song by Native American artist John Trudell. The song is Bags. John Trudell, a.k.a. Graffiti Man, bombs over Baghdad.
Running Mother Earth woman can't take the abuse. Living right now is living for tomorrow. Time is saying there's no more time to borrow. Vampires drinking blood and oil cocktails. Their violence works, it hardly ever fails. Bombs over Baghdad.
Know that for the first time in American history, the U.S. Army was used in a war operation against the American people?
Yeah.
Right near here, up in Humboldt County, about 200 miles north of San Francisco, right near a town called Shelter Cove, get this, 300 to 400 American GIs dressed and fully armed with the automatic rifles, armed for battle, fanned out on maneuvers through the woods, backed up by a dozen Black Hawk attack helicopters. The mountain people up there were frightened out of their wits. They thought there was a war going on, especially the ones who had soldiers kicking in the doors to their cabins and putting guns to their heads in front of their children. Why? Who was the enemy in this war? Not the communists, not Saddam Hussein. Not Earth First or even the Spotted Owl. No. The enemy. They called out the army to put down secretly so as few people outside of Humboldt would get alarmed as possible. It wasn't even a person or an army or a terrorist group. It was a plant. The marijuana plant. And they actually did find a few for the GIs to pull up. And then they had to fly in more from the government stash so the pile would look big enough when they lit the bonfire for the network TV news cameras so they could say, yes, another triumph in the drug war. Drug war. War. The American army sent to war against the American people. And we're supposed to feel relieved and secure and protected. Protected from what? A lot of people with more guts than I'll ever have risked their life and limb all last summer at the Earth First Redwood Summer Action up in Humboldt County. They were chaining themselves to redwoods that were three times wider than they were spread eagle. They were 800 years old as the saws buzzed right over their heads. They stood in the dirt as the bulldozers charged them and stopped right at their toes. Where people waved clubs at them, charged them with logging trucks, shotguns, you name it, all to try and save some of the last unspoiled virgin forest we have left anywhere in this country from being chopped down and made into toilet paper, TV guides, and the Weekly World News. On the other side, the loggers saying, what about our jobs? What about our families? What about our lives? You needed wood and cardboard to make those protest signs. We need fuel. We need paper. It's almost gone. Where are we going to get more? The answer for centuries has been right under our nose. Grow more pot. If we're serious about saving the earth, saving the ozone, and our freedom to go about saving the earth and the ozone, and we should start by paying all those dirt poor coca farmers in South America and out of work loggers in Fortuna and Eureka and Midwest family farmers and Rust Belt families too to all get together and grow more pot. Why? Get ready for this. There's a book out. It's called The Emperor Wears No Clothes. The author's name is Jack Harar. It's published by Queen of Clubs. I think there's ads for it in High Times or Normal, National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. They could direct you to one, I'm sure. And in this book, among other places, it is written, before the 20th century, the marijuana plant provided almost all the world's paper, all the world's clothing and textiles, and almost all the world's rope. According to none other than the U.S. Department of Agriculture, you can make four times as much paper from an acre of marijuana hemp plants as you can from an acre of trees. And instead of chopping down all the redwoods in Humboldt County and turning Northern California and Oregon and Washington into Appalachia, the Sahara Desert, if you do it with hemp plants, you can just grow another crop a few months later and make more paper. At one quarter the cost of making paper from wood pulp and only one-fifth the pollution. The ancient Romans knew this and grew it. Henry VIII made each farmer in Old England grow their share, because they knew if you want the strongest natural fiber there is, you all got to do your part for the king and grow more pot. And we did, too. Guess what Levi jeans were originally made out of? And guess what American flags used to be made out of? And guess what the early drafts of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were written on? And if that's too unchristian for you, guess what they made Gutenberg and King James Bibles out of? Guess what you can use to power a car? Can get at least four times as much cellulose to make gasohol or methanol from hemp stems as he can from a corn stalk, which along with solar energy would be a great way to avoid dying for oil in Saudi Arabia. In the 20s and 30s, most American cars and farm machinery had the option of running on gas or on methanol. Most racing cars still do run on methanol. And George Washington and Thomas Jefferson grew cannabis on their plantations and smoked it, too. In the 1760s in the American colonies, you could even be jailed for not growing pot, because that was part of the key to become economically independent from Britain. Hemp was legal tender in America, a substitute for money, from 1630 clear up until the early 1800s. And hemp seeds are a great source of protein, better than soybeans, and it's cheaper than soybeans, too. Or so says the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Marijuana is legal for medical use in 34 states, used to treat glaucoma and pain caused by cancer. You can digest more protein out of a hemp seed than a soybean seed. It's even shown some signs of being able to combat herpes. And guess what kind of a parachute Mr. Drug War Junta Man himself, George Bush, used when he bailed out of that bomber in World War II? Hemp was illegal by then, but farmers were briefly ordered to grow it again in this country for the war effort and all, and the U.S. Army had their own stash all along in the colonies in the Philippines. so, how did everything get turned around so damn bad? Doesn't it strike you as a little dumb that we burn oil and choke ourselves and chop down all our trees and ruin innocent people's lives by branding them criminals and throwing them in jails or sending them off to drug camps or taking all their property and selling it before they're brought to trial, in the process making crack and heroin cheaper and easier to get than pot? Why do we do this when we don't have to? Meanwhile, the police chief of L.A., Daryl Gates, gets front page approval for telling a U.S. Senate committee that pot smokers should be shot on sight. Because smoking pot is treason, because after all, it's illegal. Why was marijuana cracked down on? And why was it done so violently? Well, ready? In 1936, Popular Mechanics magazine hailed the invention of a new machine to process hemp, predicting that marijuana hemp would once again become the world's largest cash crop. This did not sit at all well with people like Hearst Paper Manufacturing, or Kimberly-Clark, or other cutthroat multinationals who happened to have large timber holdings. Didn't sit too well with tobacco barons, for obvious reasons. And it sure as hell didn't sit too well with our old buddy DuPont. Hemp processing uses only one-fifth the chemicals needed to process wood pulp, and DuPont had just patented a new wood pulp sulfide process. And DuPont's patented plastic fibers had just passed up hemp as the number two fiber next to cotton, and they wanted to keep it that way. And the last thing the big drug companies wanted was to lose their share of the ever-lucrative disease industry market to more affordable medicine made from marijuana or other natural ingredients because, check this out, you can't own and make money off a patent for medicine in this country unless the medicine has chemicals in it. It's all natural ingredients, you can't patent it. Maybe that's why we don't have access to a cure for cancer or AIDS, or why the health food store I go to keeps getting harassed by federal authorities for selling herbal medicine. Meanwhile, guess who owns Congress? So, marijuana was outlawed in 1937, and they fanned the racism fires, playing the racism card just like they do when they want to crack down on rock and roll or rap or hip-hop or something like that. They said that smoking marijuana might cause you to fall under the influence of listening to jazz. I believe it was even said on the floor of Congress that marijuana had to be banned because smoking it might make a black man look at a white woman twice. And let's not forget that U.S. Treasury Department-funded documentary film called Reefer Madness. So marijuana was outlawed as devil weed in 1937. Only 53 years ago, it was legal. Need I say more on why our beloved fearless leaders go out of their way to censor our access to information so damn much? Can you imagine the mass outrage if this kind of stuff ever really got out? And people knew that this so big drug problem they keep reading about and hearing about is being caused by the government themselves? And people knew how easily each one of us individually could turn our ecological and human crisis around without resorting to Nazi bullshit like oil wars and drug wars just by saying no to George Bush? And people knew that the very companies that provide us with such crucial conveniences as Kleenex, paper towels, and junk mail have systematically and brutally rearranged every single one of our lives so that we are literally wiping our ass with our own future. And it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, I'll tell you, I do feel kind of funny saying all this because I used to be a pothead and I hate smoking this stuff, the whole low-energy stoner deadhead vibe that comes with it. But you don't need to smoke pot to realize that the real drug problem in this country is not the drug. And we can help solve our drug problems, crime problems, environmental problems, even our racial problems, if we say no to George Bush and get together and grow more pot. Ever thought of what a sadomasochistic culture we really have? How much of our emotional pulse really revolves around pain? How many people cling to grim religions based on torture? Afraid to break the cycle out of fear of the unknown. It's so much more secure just to hate your own guts. Break down, kneel down, confess. And think of all the horrible things that are going to happen to you if you don't confess. It's a crime to open your eyes. It's a sin to look around and explore too far. Threats from above keep people whipped. Sadomasochism on a stick. And what do we talk about at parties to get attention? Pleasure? Love? We talk about pain. Like showing off the busted leg to the chums in the locker room or at the ski lodge. Or, look at all these gnarly scars I got when I wiped out on my skateboard. War wounds. Pain. The proof of purchase of adventure. I crashed and burned, therefore I am alive. When was the last time you heard someone reminisce about the orgasm they had the other day? What kind of reaction do you think they'd get anyway? So far I hear, or say something like that at a department store, it might be, ooh, pervert, guards, take him away. Or in the ever more uptight sectors of our more political than thou underground scene, you might get the reaction, ew, sexist. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of what hip-hop artists like Ice-T or 2 Live Crew or the Ghetto Boys have to say about women, but I do think Ice-T has an interesting point. Imagine what life would be like if we all felt relaxed enough and comfortable around each other that a person of either sex could go up to somebody else of either sex that they secretly found attractive or radiant, lovable, in need of a hug, whatever, you know, male, female, female, male, 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 female, female. Just go up and come right out and say, hey, let's get butt naked and fuck. And if the other person responded by saying, no, I don't want to, it wouldn't be such a big, tense, shattering, horrible, degrading deal because the stakes wouldn't be raised so damn high that rejection wouldn't hurt so bad that the other person couldn't just immediately say, oh, okay, that's fine, let's just be friends then. Sure would eliminate a lot of uptight, stupid games. And that, to me, is why so many artists and rap and rock musicians who deal openly with sex and sexuality are being treated as political subversives. But no, you talk about that stuff just about anywhere today. What do you want to bet that the other people around you would kind of cringe and grow a little uncomfortable, maybe smile and go, heh, 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 hunting frantically in the corner of their eye. Won't someone change the subject to something, anything else? It's just too taboo to talk pleasure in this arena. The person who does receives the pain of being shunned. Thus, the lesson is implanted. Fear is the teacher. Next time, think and feel in ways the others can relate to. Tales of wigging out on drugs won't make other people quite so jealous. Don't fight the current or you could be swept out to sea. Remember what sells versus what is untouchable. Avoid the hurt that comes with feeling icky. Filter your feelings. through our orbit of pain.
Switching in the kitchen and dad's in the living room, grousing and a bitching, and I'm out here kicking the gong for euphoria, euphoria. When your mind starts squealing and a walking, your inside voices start squealing and a squawking, floating around on a belladonna cloud, singing euphoria, euphoria. Underneath the table, sat making faces at a union label. You know he picked his ears, he rolled his eyes, he whispered euphoria, euphoria. When your mind starts wheeling and a-walking, your inside a voice starts wheeling and a-squawking, floating around on a belladonna cloud, singing euphoria, euphoria. I pinched Eve on the bottom, patted Adam on the back, I smiled at the back. I took a bite from the apple with two bites gone and shouted euphoria, euphoria. When your mind starts wheeling and a-walking, your inside a voice starts wheeling and a-squawking, floating around on a belladonna cloud, singing euphoria, euphoria.
You heard an old band from Amsterdam in the 1980s, Fritz Modern, doing Je bent in poist in minj neck. Before Fritz Modern, you heard Holy Modal Rounders doing Euphoria. Jello Biafra did Grow More Pot and Lost Orgasm from his third spoken word CD, I Blow Minds for a Living. John Trudell did Bombs Over Baghdad, and started off with the Beastie Boys doing Fight for Your Right to Party. And Marlon, the great engineer, is scouring for songs and found one by Public Enemy called Party for Your Right to Fight, which I thought was pretty funny. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight's theme is Save Holland, The Last Democracy. And I want to encourage anybody listening anywhere to resist anti-freedom people within your own nation, whether they are corporate-based, whether they are religious zealots, whatever kind they are, hardcore racists, any of that shit, to resist them taking away your rights, as well as resisting the importing of fascism from elsewhere. If you are outside the U.S., resist the U.S. influence that comes in your nation to say you must implement a war on drugs, a war on vice, a war on art, a war on music, similar to what they do here, because that is not cool at all and only gets progressively worse. Resist all encroachments against freedom wherever you are, whether facing very light repression like The Last Democracy, Holland, or heavy repression, which is pretty much everywhere else. If there is an area where there's relative freedom, the first mistake a person can make is to be passive and to just ignore any threat to freedom. When a Jerry Falwell comes along, an idiot like George W. Bush, or any other kind of stooge, an Ayatollah Ashcraft, where freedom is to be targeted by these people, and now the asshole of the week who's going after freedom in Holland. This is an international call to stand up for freedom. Every lifestyle, every background, every walk of life. And hopefully, people will never normalize a state of repression where it just feels normal. It is not normal to have a corporate bullshit media dominate national thought. It is not normal to not have any rights and then be told that you do have rights and freedom. It is not normal to have a day-to-day life of repression and widespread injustice. And I want to encourage, once again, for a public showing of the video, Sex, Drugs, and Democracy, the documentary about Amsterdam, at anarchytv.com/SDD, and see the impact of positive and humane public policies when people are more relaxed at the top and not a bunch of hysterical, hallucinating, angel-seeing, holy wingnuts. Then that trickles down. There's very little street crime. There's very little crime against women. There's very little social problems. There's even very little disease and drug overdosing when there is a sane and rational and humane approach to all social issues. It is excellent and thorough, this video. And we see the opposite. We see what kind of a society and what kind of outcomes repression breeds. Okay, moving along. Let's see, a few plugs, and then we're going to bring back some something we haven't done on the show in a long time, but I wanted to bring it back because we are now preserving for history these shows in audio archives at the Reverend Bookburn website, fullgospelranch.com/RevBookburn. And so we're going to bring back some old stuff. First, some news. Former recipient of Asshole of the Week, Sydney Archbishop George Pell, age 61, is now in inquiries about accusations of child sexual abuse perpetrated against a 12-year-old boy. This is the guy, the reason he was Asshole of the Week a couple of months ago was because of his public statement that abortion is a bigger crime than child sexual abuse by priests. And this guy has also publicly defended other priests who are child molesters during their trial, and now he is caught. So, George Pell, you are now an exposed child molester. Sydney Archbishop, and Marlon is over there laughing at you. From Guerrilla News, wild card down the rabbit hole with the man who says he tried to warn the world about 9/11. That is at Guerrilla News at guerrillanews.com/wildcard/whoa. Vreeland, V-R-E-E-L-A-N-D, underline one. Let's see. And the House of Representatives, you know, that place full of cheerleaders for W. Numbnuts, Dirty Bomb, Corporate Ho, Enron Protege Bush, that House of Representatives passed a bill, blah, 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 this is Marlon's fault that I'm so giddy in here, House passed a bill shielding Catholic hospitals that refuse to do abortions without forfeiting Medicare and other federal funding. And they're already notorious for denying rape victims ECP, emergency contraception. Well, now this bill shields them, courtesy of the Whorehouse of Representatives. Let's see, Taliban victory of the week. White House offers health care for fetuses. So as that incredible, loathsome, scumbag corporate entities known as insurance companies worsen the state of health care in this nation, a fetus now counts. And it also sets a precedent by declaring a fetus a whole person, which is Taliban victory of the week. New great animation about Ayatollah Ashcroft, the Attorney General John Ashcroft, author of the Patriot Act, at markfiore.com/animation/project.html. And it's also at motherjones.com under humor. New books by William Rivers Pitt. Actually, at two different places I saw plugs. So I guess he wrote two books at once. The primary one is War, What Team Bush Doesn't Want You to Know on Iraq, by William Rivers Pitt with Scott Ritter, former U.S. Weapons Inspector. And you can check that out at truthout.org. And also, The Great Sedition is Silence, published by Pluto Press. More cartoons. U.S. to Bomb Antarctica. And that's at Salon. That's at archive.salon.com/comics/bol/2002/09/26/bol/index/.html. And this will be on the playlist which you can get by email by writing to me, Rev Bookburn, at FullGospelRanch.com, or just waiting for it to appear at the webpage. The playlist from last week is loaded at the Weekly Playlist Archive, and the link for the hilarious Comedy Central video from The Daily Show with Hairpiece, Trent Lott, and George W. Idiot, Dirty Bomb Bush, and with commentary and humor from those Comedy Central guys. That link still works. Oh, sick of talking. But there's two things worth saying immediately. Three. One is that there's coverage of the protests over the weekend against the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank at Washington, D.C.'s independent media organization, which is dc.indymedia.org, dc.indymedia.org. And while looking for the links for the last playlist from New York City independent media, I found all kinds of stuff. You just have to keep going back and back for all this great stuff. And going back 20 or 30 pages, found a great interview with Daniel Ellsberg, the guy famous for publicly exposing the Pentagon Papers and going on trial for that. Interview with Daniel Ellsberg at nyc.indymedia.org. And Reverend Bookburn's live guest from last September, September 9th, 2001, Diane Fornbacher of the Drug Policy Forum, Tri-State, dpfts.org, has a fetus, which we now know is to be male. And more updates on that as they develop. But so that is good news, we hope. She's very happy about it. So it's cool, and it's her choice to carry it. So congratulations, Diane Fornbacher and partner. Tonight we're going to bring back the Self-Liberation Pledge. For some very strange, perverted reason, the Reverend has been amusing himself by going through Christian anti-sex and anti-masturbation texts where all sex is because of abuse or you're perverted, or then they go into this abuse the word addiction. You're a porn addict, you're a sex addict, all stuff that doesn't exist. And clinically, if you're new to the show, the actual definition of addiction is, all together now, symptomatic of withdrawal. I thought the other people here were going to join me, but anyway, symptomatic of withdrawal. So,
we need two parts.
Okay, one, two, three.
Symptomatic of withdrawal.
Therefore, there is no such thing as a sex addict or a porn addict. And since there's all this silly shit going around by the American Christian Taliban and the Reverend Moon organizations for abstinence pledges in schools and wherever else, we're going to bring back the Reverend Bookburn Self-Liberation Pledge, and then of course the celebratory song. And while celebrating during the song, if you have a partner there, it's better to celebrate with a partner. It's really sad to hear about people who are with somebody and allow themselves to be distracted by TV or even porn or whatever. If somebody's there and they're just as enthusiastic, celebrate with that person and not just your own hand. And if there is somebody there, then, I mean, if there is nobody there, then get your toys or your hands ready for the celebration song, because you celebrate after you liberate yourself from all of the horse shit you got in school and church and wherever else during the celebration song. So, hands and toys ready, or partner ready, for Reverend Bookburn's self-liberation pledge. Here we go. First, an introduction part. Oh, and be ready to put your hands on the monitor, because that's how we make miracles happen. This is Reverend Bookburn's alternative to the American Christian Taliban's and Reverend Moon's abstinence pledges. It is for sexually active people or those who wish they were. This pledge is for sex positives of all orientations and lifestyles. The Reverend has a dream and envisions all sex positives, dancers, sex workers, swingers, adult film stars, transgendered people, bikers, hippies, punks, squatters, hemp users, rock and rollers, hip hoppers, activists of any kind, and anyone who values or enjoys freedom and justice, to take this pledge and actively resist theocracy and the loss of their rights. The self-liberation pledge. And get ready to repeat out loud after the Reverend. Start repeating. I, name, hereby free myself from the restrictions and imposed guilt from any and all religious dictatorships. I hereby declare myself free to love and be sexual with any person or persons I choose who are fully grown and not in a coma, as long as it is consensual. What I do for work or pleasure is my business and does not define my personhood. I am now free to fully express myself sexually so long as I do not lie or hurt anyone else. I am free to be sexual with as many partners as I choose, as long as I am open about it. I shall no longer feel one bit of guilt for the delightful pleasure of masturbation. I am free to explode and scream with orgasmic pleasure. I am not a bad person for this. The people in government, fascistic clergy, multinational corporations, hate groups, hypocrites, and scapegoaters are the true assholes of the world. I am now ready for a special celebration of my guilt-free liberation pledge. Okay, you can take your hands off the monitor, because here comes the miracle. With your hands or with your partner, we are going to celebrate you taking the self-liberation pledge in defiance of the Puritans and anti-freedom people. And we'll have another masturbation song later, but I'm going to bring back the original self-liberation pledge celebration song. This is the Buzzcocks doing Orgasm Addict, Happy Celebrating.
All right, for cakes, but now you find out that...
Fuck that up. Go.
Well, you tried it just for once, find it all right for kicks. But now you find out that it's a habit that sticks, and you're an orgasmatic. You're an orgasmatic. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mama wants to know what all the things on your jeans. And you're an orgasmatic. You're an orgasmatic. But you still keep a beat and you meet your pulse. And you're an orgasmatic. You're an orgasmatic. are no chosen sister. Live on a fucking yourself to death. Oh, there's a medic. God, oh, there's a medic.
John Paul having come on. They are prisoners of their wardrobe. Prisoners of their clothes. If they change the outfits that they wear, nobody would stop and stare. The prisoners. It's a little tragic, it's a little weird. ZZ Top are prisoners of their fears. Imagine them weightless in outer space. Fears and shades flying all over the place. Don't worry, girls, it'll never happen except maybe in a music video. There's a very fine line between a groove and a rut. Fine line between eccentric and people who are just plain nuts. But why should I concern myself with such superficial things? Cause you're a prisoner of these stupid thoughts. It's worse than being a prisoner of my hair. I wonder if Crystal Gale's ever had a bad dream about being trapped with Ravenel Sharp and Mary Travers being chased by a wild packers through this sort of swimming pool filled with snares. Oh my god! What a nightmare for Crystal Gale! Wake up, Crystal Gale! Oh no, here comes Dolly Parton! What is she doing in this song? She's only a prisoner of her wig! Get out of the pool, Dolly! You don't belong here! Oh my god! Oh, wake up, Crystal Gale! What a nightmare, Crystal Gale! Wake up!
Thank you. Saddle 'em up, boys.
You heard Los Fabulosos Cadillacs doing Hoenn. Before that, Chocolate Watch Band did Dark Side of the Mushroom. Christine Lavin and Friends did Prisoners of Their Hairdos, and started off with the Buzzcocks doing Orgasm Addict. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight's theme is Save Holland, the Last Democracy. And going to play a treat for you, since I promised it earlier. In celebration of the re-release of ancient Butthole Surfers classics on Jello Biafra's Alternative Tentacles label, alternativetentacles.com, we're going to bring back Barbecue Pope.
Oh,
Okay, that was Jinx doing Rock and Roll Party Queen Reprise from the All Punk and Hardcore double release of every song from Grease and other songs from the 50s. And, of course, the Butthole Surfers doing Barbecue Pope. And all of that will be available once again at AlternativeTentacles.com. We are going to say goodbye very soon to the listeners at InfidelGuy.com in about 25 minutes, and definitely going overtime at RadioVolta.org. So get through some plugs and news and play a treat from Brazil in the 60s, an old psychedelic band called Os Mutantes, and got some Anti-Flag, another masturbation song, and some hardcore. So, funny bumper sticker of the week, really seen by the Reverend a couple of days ago. Jesus paid for our sins, so let's get our money's worth. That amuses Marlon, the great engineer. And why worry? God is in control. Has to be the most stupid-ass bumper sticker seen all week. So, I like the first one better. Would you have that on your bike? Jesus paid for our sins, so let's get our money's worth. Is that worthy of your motorcycle?
Maybe. Maybe if I had more, area for bumper stickers.
That's true. There's no place to put it. Uh-oh. Oh, fuck. What would I do without you?
We ran out of tape for all of you listening and following along at home.
That's right. So, Marlon doesn't have room on his bumper for Jesus paid for our sins, so let's get our money's worth. Okay. And I will try to read bad handwriting. Videos of the week, besides Sex, Drugs, and Democracy, which I hope people organize a public showing for, AnarchyTV.com/SDD. I wanted to plug once again The Naked Truth, Exposing the Deceptions About the Origins of Modern Religions, because it is now available through a link at the Infidel Guy site, InfidelGuy.com. So when you see The Naked Truth, you can now access this tape, which is very worth it. And an old foreign film from the 70s called King of Hearts, which raises all kinds of questions like, who are the real nutcases? The people who make war and plan war, or the people who are in psychiatric hospitals? And it's one of the funniest films. Came out around the 70s in Philadelphia. They showed it at the Arty Theater, TLA. And it is highly recommended. And I think that question needs to be raised once again. News from Dr. Susan Block, the anti-Dr. Lara, coming up on, or I think it already happened, at Radio Susie 1, on her internet broadcasting, the band The Rap Bastards, plus Jumbo's Clown Room Dancers. Rap Bastards include Jesus H. Christ, Grim Reefer, Soup Two Nuts, and Dr. Flesh Piston. And the Jumbo Clown Room Dancers feature Sky and Chocolate. Also at Radio Susie, Jovian and Brian from the Regis and Cuffs video. And Dr. Susie takes a hard look at the cockfight in Baghdad Corral. All of that is at drsusanblock.com/radiosusie1.htm. And you can see the next shows at drsusanblock.com/show upcoming. Coming soon, Michelle Lay and Reno. We don't know if Michelle Lay is any relation to Ken Lay from Enron Corporation, sponsor of the Bush regime. Also, Dr. Susan Block, Regis and Cuffs to air on Adelphia Public Access TV in West L.A. That's interesting. And Dr. Susan Block live from Cannes in France. And all of that at drsusanblock.com. New article by Stu Albert, Bush to Rule the World. And that might be at his website, which is at the Reverend Bookburn links, fullgospelranch.com/RevBookburn, and then links, Stu Albert's Yippie Reading Room. See if it's posted there yet. Bush to Rule the World. Let's see, some good stuff at bushwatch.net. U.S. policy funds human rights abuses in Colombia, and corporate takeover of the airwaves supported by Bush, by the Bush FCC. All of that is at bushwatch.net. At Common Dreams, the article by commondreams.org has a million great articles right now. One by Ken Loach on the London anti-war demonstrations, and Specter of War stirs up campus dissent. 350,000 say this war is wrong and we won't stand for it. Both at commondreams.org. Let's see. We talked about Diane Fornbecker's fetus. The contests are still on to pie the corporate scab version of the dead Kennedys and the moon or flasher genitals at a religious extremist theocrat is still on. You can go to fullgospelranch.com, and if you win, you have to be sure to tell us. Christopher Reeves is in the news. He has been making progress, so he's been making headlines all over the place. And the former Superman has blasted W. Numbnuts Bush, as well as the Taliban model churches like the Catholic Church, for putting restrictions on stem cell research, which has, it's now known that it is a means of, it's one of the most valuable means of medical research and finding cures for over a dozen of the most major illnesses people go through, as well as paralysis. And joining Christopher Reeves, of all people, is Nancy Reagan, since her husband, Ronald Caligula Reagan, is going through Alzheimer's. She, too, has become a supporter of stem cell research, which is, of course, vehemently opposed by the Bush regime and the American Christian Taliban and all the American anti-abortion terrorists. And the most recent news on stem cell research is that it is now known to be a potential cure, lead to a potential cure for diabetes. Let's see, the last two columns of Arianna Huffington's are worthwhile. ArianaOnline.com, columns, alternatives to the 12-step and higher power cults in the world of recovery and detox, CSharpPress.com, like the word see this, CSharpPress.com, to support the Baltimore 28 of anti-racist action, you can go to onepeoplesproject.com or infoshop.org. According to the Pie Man, the acidtrip.com site is back up again. It's not done by the Pie Man. He's at pieman.org. But he is making the announcement that acidtrip.com is back online. And let's see, if you want to see last week's public showing video, Canadian Bacon, go to michaelmoore.com. And there's also great stuff on anti-war petitions. All right, we're definitely sick of talking. Heard from Veterans for Peace, and they're online at veteransforpeace.org. The Reverend's friend, LaSara Firefox, and person who first hooked up Reverend Bookburn and Dr. Susan Block in L.A., is having a women's sexual empowerment workshop, Goddess in the Mirror, a sexual empowerment workshop for women. And she's at groups.yahoo.com/group/sexymama. And this, too, will be on the playlist. And let's see, also at groups at Yahoo, groups.yahoo.com/group/save our secularity, save_our_secularity. From Abraham Gillen Press in Canada, a new book by Jalil Montaki called We Are Our Own Liberators. And from globalresearch.ca, just http globalresearch.ca, How a Famous American Family Made Its Fortune from the Nazis. That's about W. Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, and other interesting articles. Let's see. Oh, and Tim Hitchinson, brother of one of the drug war criminals and graduate of the racist Taliban religious extremist Bob Jones University and supported by Bush, is running for Senate in Arkansas. And so, lying, cheating, moralizing, moral crusader, and hypocrites who get caught with affairs can be represented by Tim Hitchinson. News on that as it develops. Enough talking. Let's go back to Brazil in the 60s. This band, who got great feedback other times we've played them on this show, is from Brazil in the late 60s. When they began, in the late 60s, a lot of these bands received a lot of violence from police, much like here, and most ended up jailed. But one of the most tripped out of the psychedelic bands managed to make two albums, one in 1967 and one in 1968. The Reverend has a CD with both albums, but they have no titles, so we just play random songs. And we should play two tonight, since we're playing so much international stuff. And going to go way over time at RadioVolta.org. And big thanks to the Reverend's friend, Lord Jesus, who sells a lot of great music on eBay, now focusing on jazz, but often has punk, rock and roll, ancient stuff, and very bizarre. And if you want to see what he has, he's Jesus, C-H-E-E-Z-U-S, Jesus at voicenet.com, and see his latest listings at eBay. But he said now he mostly has jazz up. Anyway, so we have no titles, but here is Os Mutantes. De casa vou levar a mala cheia de ilusão. That was Os Mutantes from Brazil around 1967 or 1968. We'll have to get Lord Jesus to give us this song titles from that. Just about to run out of time at infidelguy.com. Going to go over time at radiovolta.org. So I wanted to say that next week I'm going to do the same theme. Next week is part two of Save Holland, The Last Democracy, because there is so much shit in here. Stuff I didn't read, stuff I didn't plug, and most of all, songs I didn't play. So next week, Save Holland, The Last Democracy, part two. South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition is at online at sjcdc.org, and at that site you can see an article entitled Theocracy and Sexual Freedom, sjcdc.org. The Reverend's friend Jennifer Hunter has an online domination service, so if this is your scene or if you want to explore, and I have no idea what this is like, but I'm sure it's good because she's a good friend and she boasts that they are all Ivy League educated. You can go to JenniferHunterConsulting.com or 215-627-JEN, 215-627-JENN. The Godless Americans March is coming up in Washington, D.C., and you can check that out at GodlessAmericans.org. And the Harm Reduction Conference is coming up in December, which features Dr. Joycelyn Elders as a keynote speaker, which alone is worth it. And that is sponsored by numerous AIDS service providers, hepatitis C support groups, and needle exchange organizations, Dance Safe, Danzine, and numerous other groups. Information at harmreduction.org. And I was going through their links, and they also have a very interesting resource called the Recovery Liberation Front, which is also alternatives to 12 steps and AA and NA and higher power cults. Okay, let's play some Paul Krasner. You can check out the band introduction of this CD, Irony Lives, by the guy who does the voice of Homer Simpson, that Fox TV, former recipients of Asshole of the Week, decided they own and will not allow on the CD. You can hear it as an MP3 on at paulkrasner.com. And what do we play this week? We'll play Kesey's Last Prank of... in honor of Ken Kesey, who passed away last spring, one of the original Merry Pranksters in the 1960s and acid pioneers. This is called Kesey's Last Prank.
When I moved from New York to San Francisco in 1971, I had accumulated so much stuff, it was just incredible, that I decided I didn't want to bring it all across the country, and so I had a garbage can on either side of me and then a carton here, and I was junk, throw away, garbage, keep. Junk, keep. Junk, garbage. And I would do that, and once in a while I'd come upon something that I wasn't sure. It didn't compute. And, for example, I found a little card this size by some doctor, and it said, the anal sphincter, a very important muscle. It had all these details about why it was an unheralded muscle. And I just put it in my pocket. What I worshipped, I had a Donald Duck with eight arms, a papier-mâché Donald Duck. And it had two names. You could either call it Shiva Duck or Donald Sutra. And, you know, whatever people do works. And so I prayed to this Donald Duck with eight arms, and it worked. So I brought that 3,000 miles with me, and, I mean, that was a must. One time I came home, and there was something strange about the room, and I tried to figure out what it was, and then I was able to zero in on my Donald Duck and realize it now had 10 arms instead of eight. And so I got up close to it and saw that the two extra arms were actually shoelaces, you know, in the packages still, that looked very similar to Donald Duck's arms. And I didn't find out until a little bit later that my friend Ken Kesey had been around. And this was Kesey's way of showing affection by doing a little personal prank like this. So I was invited by Stuart Brand, who published the Whole Earth Catalog, to co-edit with Kesey the last supplement to the catalog. And when I came west, I met Kesey. He was sitting in the backyard of the house he was staying at. And on the table outside was an electric typewriter with a wire going into the house. And right above him on a tree limb was his parrot, Rumiako. And Kesey was just sitting there. And every once in a while, Rumiako would go, rawr, 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 and Kesey would type something. And then it would be still. And then after a while, Rumiako would go, rawr, 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 and Kesey would type a little bit more. And I felt embarrassed. I thought I had stumbled in on some literary secret ritual here. And finally, he saw me, and we called each other by our last names in the pranksters because there were so many Kens and Pauls, so it was Kesey and Krasner, later shortened to Kees and Kras. And so Kesey looks up and says, "Krasner, I was just sitting here thinking about the anal sphincter." I said, "Oh, my carge." These are moments when the line between coincidence and magic gets very blurry, and you have to, you know, have your own personal paradigm shift. One time, I was staying at what was known as the Psychodrama House, and Kesey would come around each morning, and we would have granola in the kitchen and ginseng tea, and then we would drive up to the garage, the big garage where the production was for the last supplement. And one day, Kesey was in the kitchen, and I saw him take a box out of the pantry and pour some powder down into his crotch. And I said, "What are you doing? What is that?" And he said, "Oh, that's cornstarch. I've used cornstarch on my balls for years." And I said, "Wow, that sounds like, since the Whole Earth Catalog was supposed to be about information and tools, we thought, why don't you do like a little public service announcement for that?" And so it was on the inside back cover. There were four photos of Kesey. You know, step one, open the box, two, pour it down. And then with his words, I want to read it here because I want to say exactly what he wrote. "You know how it is when you're swarthy anyway and maybe nervous, like on a long freeway drive, or say you're in court where you can't unzip to air things out and your clammy old nuts stick to your legs?" He was projecting his own gender, of course. "Well, a little handful of plain old cornstarch in the morning will keep things dry and sliding the whole hot day long. Works better than talcum, and you don't smell like a nursery. Also good for underarms, feet, pulling on neoprene wetsuits, and soothing baby's bottoms. And it's biodegradable." When I interviewed Kesey, he decided that we shouldn't do it on tape. We should just have two electric typewriters on my dining room table and pass paper back and forth. I would type a question and pass it to him. Because, you know, you try to be glib when you're talking, but you have false starts and unfinished sentences and run-on sentences, and he's a writer, and so he chose his words very carefully. Then he would pass it back to me, and I would have either a follow-up question or a new question. And we were in the middle of doing this when my bell rang downstairs, and it was a friend, a writer named Ron Rosenbaum, who wanted to borrow a cup of acid. And so I said, "Okay, but we can't talk now because I'm in the middle of interviewing Kesey." And so he was very excited because he thought he'd hear these great responses, and all he saw was us passing paper back and forth and typing, so he didn't stay too long. After we put out the Whole Earth Catalog, Stuart Brand and I became roommates, and I had a little room in his apartment, and on my wall I had a photo of my daughter, and I had a poster of Richard Nixon. It was very campy because he was quoting from his first inaugural speech about the decline of civilization, not realizing that he was talking about his own contribution to it. And I had a picture of Geronimo, the Native American, whom I really admired. And I came home, and there was something amiss, and I zeroed in and saw that it was Richard Nixon, who had originally been looking to the right, was now looking to the left. And it was like one of those face of Jesus dishes that you see in a novelty store. As you're passing, the eyes follow you, and you walk back, and the eyes go back. But I looked closely and saw that the eyeballs that were originally on the right had been whited out, and now new eyeballs had been painted in on the left. And this was out of character for Stuart Brand. I said, "Hey, Stuart, did you do that?" He said, "No, but Kesey was around for a while." And of course, I should have known by those telltale tracks of cornstarch that were leading up to the wall. So I'm dedicating this album to Kesey. And everybody thinks of him, since he died, from their own particular perspective. So there are a lot of people who think that he's on that great the psychedelic bus in the sky that's being driven by Neil Cassidy, and Tim Leary is supplying the acid, and Jerry Garcia is strumming on the guitar there. But the other people have different relationships with him. My favorite was his granddaughter, who, when she learned that Kesey had passed away, she said, "But who's going to teach us how to hypnotize chickens now?"
Okay, we offered another masturbation song for those who need it, for those affected by the conditioning of the American Christian Taliban and the Reverend Moon organization's numerous cults, mega churches, and similar shit. This is by Prince from Purple Rain. It's called Darling Nikki. Going to give you one more Los Fabulosos Cadillac song. This is El Carnicero de Giles.
Thank you. las flores que pasan se queda mudo el corzo en la noche.
Okay, here's some more Os Mutantes, since you only got one song earlier, from Brazil, Psychedelia in the 60s.
É tão bom sonhar contigo.
Thank you.
Okay, Father Oblivion has just donated a song for this show tonight. The artist is Against Me, and this track is entitled Baby, I'm an Anarchist.
We'll be right back. mal. Eu vivo errando, me culpando da calçada. E você o que está fazendo sentado atrás dessa mesa? E você o que está fazendo sentado atrás dessa mesa? Nada, nada, nada. Nada, nada, nada. Proibir a migração do povo. A frase de Isabel já virou convite grande. E você o que está fazendo sentado atrás dessa mesa? E você o que está fazendo sentado atrás dessa mesa? Nada, nada, nada. Nada, nada, nada. Não se pode mais andar pelas ruas de São Paulo. Eu vivo esbarrando, nesse pano da calçada. E você o que está fazendo sentado atrás dessa mesa? E você o que está fazendo sentado atrás dessa mesa? Nada, nada, nada. Nada, nada, nada. Nada, nada, nada. Nada, nada, nada.
Yeah!
Okay, you heard a ton of songs. Last, you heard Gangrene doing Snob, Lie, Lie, and I Don't Know. The FUs did Green Beret and Time Is Money. Before that, you heard Kidnap from France doing No SS. Crucifix did Annual Report. And another band from Brazil, All Whole Sequel, did Nada. From Finland, Tervit Cadet did Auto Ma. Against Me did Baby, I'm an Anarchist. We had three tracks from Os Mutantes, psychedelic band from Brazil. Jerry's Kids did Straight Jacket and Uncontrollable. From Argentina, we had another track from Los Fabulosos Cadillacs. This track was El Carnicero de Giles Sueno, from their Fabulosos Calavera CD. Anti-Flag did 911 for Peace and Mumia's song. The Freeze did Broken Bones. Prince did Darling Nikki. And Paul Krasner did Keezy's Last Prank. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight's theme has been Save Holland, The Last Democracy, Part 1. And next week, of course, is Part 2. And since I have the Anti-Flag CD here, they have a bonus CD that comes with the Mobilize release that has other artists on their label, which is A-F Records. And yes, they're online at a-records.com. And want to play that because there's a lot of great stuff on it. Starting off with The Code doing Alert, Aware, Involved.
Unite! Hey! Turn it up!
Okay, gonna play some more from this AF record sampler. Next week again is part two of Save Holland, The Last Democracy. If you want to write to me, write RevBookburn@FullGospelRanch.com. And the web address is FullGospelRanch.com/RevBookburn. And also at RadioVolta.org, the Rev is at DJ Pages and Schedule. This band is called Pipe Down, and here comes two tracks from them, Risen Up and The Dark.
Why not the gods of the world today?
Okay, you heard the Methadones doing Solitude. Before that, Pipe Down did Risen Up and The Dark. And The Code did Alert, Aware, Involved. This is Reverend Bookburn, ready to call it a day. Next week is part two of Save Holland, The Last Democracy. Going to end with yet two more songs from this killer AF Records compilation, a-frecords.com, which comes as a bonus CD with Anti-Flag's Mobilize CD. And going to end with The Unseen. These tracks are called Are We Dead Yet? And Goodbye, America. Good night.
Rolling!